Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so says Jesus this morning, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And you had a busy week this week. Lots of stuff is going on. Maybe there are some challenges at work and maybe some challenges at home. And you come to church and you say, "I hope the pastor has an uplifting message today." And the text was, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, we scratch our head. Is not the one saying this the Prince of Peace? Is that not what Isaiah said? Isaiah 9 said, "A son is born to us. A child has been given to us, and he shall be called the Prince of Peace." And when he was born, didn't the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest"? What? On earth? Peace, goodwill to men. Jesus himself in John 14 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." By the way, not the same way the world does. He's going to give us a different peace. So why Matthew 10:34? We want to look into it. One of the things I did this week in preparation, I thought, how often does the word sword, by the way, happen in the Bible? What a strange word, right? In the Word of God, to find the word sword. And guess what? It happens a lot. We're not going to look them all up. Too many to look at in this sermon, but I wanted to mention a few. Some you'll know. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4 says, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares." I want us to know something about Isaiah chapter 2 is a promise about heaven, Christ reigning, and we'll be living in perfect peace with him. But a lot of times people say Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, they'll beat their swords into plowshares. They say, "We're going to achieve peace on earth." That ain't so. Romans 13, 4. That chapter is about the believer responding to their government. By the way, it's the 4th of July weekend. It's kind of an appropriate text in a way. I don't want to switch to preaching about it. But I want us to notice this. In Romans 13, 4, it says, "The magistrate does not bear the sword in vain." Do you hear that? The magistrate does not bear what? The sword in vain. That's talking about the fact that government rightfully punishes evildoers. Now, here's a question for you. When the word sword is used in Romans 13, is that a literal sword or a metaphorical sword? Literal, right? That the power of government does do things to punish the evildoer. By the way, if you read the rest of that chapter, it says that government has the responsibility of doing so with integrity and decency to its people. I'm not quoting the text, but that's what it says. That we owe the government obedience, but the government owes us faithful leadership. Now, Revelation 1:16, last book of the Bible. John has a picture of a vision of heaven. He's seeing a vision of Jesus. Revelation 1:16 says, "From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword." Now, when it says that sword, what is that sword? Word of God. I want us to hear that, the Word of God. This is the weapon of the church, not the actual sword. Sometimes the church has taken up the sword over history, and it has done so disastrously. Right? God did not give to the church the power of government, the power of ruling, the power of, right, just power. He has not given us power over the society. He's given us the Word of God. Now, Matthew 26:52. I love this one. Matthew 26, Jesus is being arrested. His disciples want to defend him. He's being arrested by soldiers. Those soldiers are armed. What do the disciples do? Or at least one of them does. Peter picks up a sword. Now, here's a question. Does he pick up a literal sword or a metaphorical sword? Literal sword, and he swings it at a man's head. He chops off his ear, so he's not a very good shot, but he swings at a man's head. In Matthew 26:52, Jesus literally says, "Put your sword back into its place." Jesus is saying, that's too literal of a sword. So, Jesus says, I've not come to bring peace, but to bring a sword. Now, let me ask you about the sword that he's talking about here. Is that a literal or a metaphorical sword? I think it's a metaphorical sword that is talking about something that is just the nature of things. Christ is the Prince of Peace who has come to bring the peace of God to all of his people. Romans 5:1. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. We have peace with God. That's the vertical relationship. You and I have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says that. Romans 8:1 says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So Christ does bring peace. He brings peace in the vertical relationship. I want us to know this. Christ brings peace in the horizontal relationship to brothers and sisters in Christ. We love one another, right? We care for one another. I personally like coming to church. It's great to see you guys. It's great to get to know you, to interact with one another, to connect with our lives, to sometimes be in your homes, to see you at the hospital, to share the joys and the challenges of life with you. That's the wonderful thing. God gives us peace here. Here's the toughie. God means to give you peace internally. You have peace with God. You have peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's the toughie. God wants you to have peace with yourself. Right? If anyone comes to church and they're being nagged by a sense of guilt, and if it's a guilt from long ago, I assure you, God wants you to have peace with that. Not that you ignore it, but that you turn it over to Christ the Savior. It's covered, right, by the blood of Christ. So that's wonderful. Christ is indeed the Prince of Peace who brings peace between us and God, us and one another, and even us and ourselves. But here's the challenge, and this is the part that just happens. When Christ said, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword, he's saying, not everyone believes. Will everyone hear the gospel and believe it? No. And that is a division. There is a division, not that we love it, but there's a division between those who believe and those who don't. That will always be there. Jesus says that this division exists in some challenging places. I would love it if Jesus said the division is between my people and pagans many thousands of miles away from here. That's not what he says, is it? He says, I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. This is everybody's favorite one, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Everybody says, oh, we do have that one. What Jesus is saying is that the dividing line between those who belong to Christ and those who do not cut across all lines. Race, class, region, and in our homes. That's the painful one, but Jesus is saying that that line cuts through, even through families. Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than him isn't worthy of him. In other passages, not here, but in other passages, he says, you can't love me unless you hate your mother or father. That seems, what's he talking about? Jesus is talking about a matter of priority. He's saying Jesus has to come first. But those are challenging texts. I kid you not, I one time had an email from a church member who said, Pastor Walt, I am not at odds with my family. Am I wrong? That's a fun question, right? I'm not at odds with my family. Am I wrong? And here's the part you have to know. This man, he was my age, middle-aged fellow. At least back then we were all middle-aged. But anyway, his parents were believers. His wife was a believer. And his three children were all believers. Was he supposed to be at odds with them? No. But Jesus is saying, sometimes in families they put pressure on the believer, saying, the rest of us don't follow that stuff. Why don't you give it up? And Jesus is saying, you have to put him first over family. Jesus is saying, sometimes parents overdo it with their kids. If the kids rule, no. Christ is first. No. I kid you not about this either. I have sometimes heard people say, if my family, if most of my family is going to hell, I would be there with them. No. You want to be in heaven. And that's the dividing line. I want us to know this too. I said the church does not pick up a literal sword. I want us to get this. The church is not supposed to be fighting with everybody all the time. We're supposed to be enjoying the truth and the grace of God. We're supposed to share it, of course. But we're not supposed to be in warfare mode. You know some Christians like that? It's just everything's a battle. I always love this verse. You've heard me say it before. I throw it out there over and over again. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You hear all those caveats, right? The first thing is you're supposed to live at peace with everybody. With these caveats, if it's possible, not always possible. Here's the other caveat. As far as it depends on you, do not let the warfare come from us. If people want to be at war with you, then fine. But the warfare is not from us. Christ is saying he has come. There is a dividing line. And why does he say this? This is what I want to say about it. I think Jesus is trying to save us from becoming too simplistic. There's a difference, right, between simplicity and being simplistic. Simplicity is good, right? A lot of things are quite simple and we overcomplicate. It is, by the way, the sacrament of the altar is simple. What do we receive here? Bread and wine, body and blood of Christ. That's what he says. This is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you. Theologians love to spill a lot of ink to make that tougher than it ought to be. Faith says, I receive the body and blood of Jesus right here for the forgiveness of my sins. That's simplicity. Many things are simple. This year, I'm trying to lose weight. I should be, right? I've lost a few pounds. Losing weight turns out to be very simple, right? We kid ourselves. It is. Here's two things. It's diet and exercise. Being simple is correct. Being simplistic is when we want to buy something that's false. Like, here's a pill that will make the pounds fly off. That's simplistic. When the guy knocks on the door of your house and says, I just paved your neighbor's driveway. If you purchase today, I've got a deal for you. I want you to hear this. We were not called to naivete. There's a lot of things in the Bible where Jesus says, I'm going to tell you how it is because this is how it is. He wants us to have a simple faith, but not a simplistic faith. And he wants us to battle that all of us from time to time stumble into stuff like this. We don't want to say it out loud, but in the back of our head is this phrase. We think, if I'm a Christian, my life will become easy. Is that true?
No.
It's not. I hear voices of experience saying no. We know not to say, Lord, I prayed for a pony. Where's my pony? We would never be that crass, but we pray that way about other things. Jesus is just saying, guys, I'm sending you. I'm empowering you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to give you my spirit. You have the message of grace and forgiveness, but let's not kid ourselves. There's going to be opposition. You see what he's saying? There are tough passages in the Bible. I'm personally glad that Jesus just tells us the truth, right? So which is it? Is it peace or is it a sword? What's the Lutheran answer to those kind of questions? Yes. Yes. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.